Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Congressman Peter Welch, the at-large only one from Vermont, the only congressman from Vermont, tell us about the net neutrality issue. It's one that not everybody understands. Can you explain it to us?
Well, the internet is of vital importance to all of us, large businesses and really small businesses. And the basic question about net neutrality is, will you maintain equal access to the internet for everybody, or will you create a fast lane for the big guys who drive the fast cars and can afford it, and a slow lane for everybody else?
So name a few of the big boys.
Well, the big boys now would be like Comcast and Google and even Netflix.
Okay, so they're lobbying for extra special privileges for themselves.
Well, no, they're not. A lot of them are even split, but some folks are lobbying for that, and it would probably be a financial bonanza to some of the big operators.
So if you pay them a little bit more, you get a little bit more access.
That's right. So there's two, I think, really important concerns. One is commercial. You know, the internet is the essential device by which some startup companies, they may start in their garage like Google did, they get going. And if they have this commercially impossible burden to meet of paying for a fast lane, which is what's required for them in order to have a shot, you'll extinguish a lot of good ideas and lose a lot of potential jobs. The second issue for me is, how's it going to affect consumers? Because if you give some additional market leverage to some of the big guys, and you want to get the internet for your family and for your kids for homework or for your own personal uses, and you get hammered with excessive fees because of the market power that has been tilted, that's my second concern. So it's a commercial opportunity and consumer protection. And there's been a firestorm of reaction to the proposal on changing a rule. And my hope is that the FCC is going to hold fast and make certain that any rule changes preserves that so-called net neutrality that we've had since the beginning of the internet.
November, of course, is election time. You have to run every 2 years. Is that a pain in the neck?
Hey, it's my job. I mean, you can't complain about things that you have to do if you want the job. You do it. And no, I have no complaints about it. You know, it's very important when you ask people in your district, in my case, Vermont, to make a decision about voting for me, that I demonstrate in the campaign and every day in between that I really do want to do the job for them. So the Constitution, it's 2-year terms for the House of Representatives. You know, there's too much money in politics. There's a lot of bad things about
sure.
it. But the idea that people get a chance to say yes or no and give you another shot, I think that's great.
Let me shift gears here to Israel. What do you make of what's happened over there? I'm getting a lot of mail on both sides here at the radio station, and I'm wondering if you could sort of put it into perspective for us.
Well, you know, it's tragic. It's absolutely tragic. I mean, you have two opposing dilemmas and tragedies. On the one hand, Israel is on the receiving end of literally thousands of rockets launched from next door. I mean, it's as close as New York State across by the Adirondacks to Vermont. So, no state would be able to endure without significant response a constant assault of rockets that threatened the lives of its citizens. Second, you've got Gaza, where you've got a government, Hamas, that in my view should not be firing these rockets. And they're making that decision, and the response from Israel to defend itself results in a lot of innocent people dying. So there's an immense tragedy there for the innocent people living in Gaza who had nothing to do with the decision about launching these rockets, but are in harm's way when Israel is asserting its right of self-defense. So at this point, you know, what can we do? I think it's great. I'm pleased that Secretary Kerry is over there doing everything he possibly can to try to restore a ceasefire. But it's a tragedy of just enormous significance.
I noticed that the chief spokesman for Hamas is talking from Qatar, which is interesting because we keep hearing, and I don't know if this is true or not, that the Hamas leaders are saying to people, don't move, stay around, the rockets that we're sending over there. It seems to me there's got to be some ability to stop this carnage.
Well, there is. I mean, Hamas could start firing the rockets. And, you know, Israel is doing what a country will do when it tries to defend its citizens. The Iron Dome has been clearly very useful because by intercepting the vast majority of the rockets fired into Israel and minimizing damage and loss of life from those rockets, it diminishes, it at least gives some breathing space for Israel. But look, when you're at this point, you've got one state, that's Gaza, firing onto Israel, and then Israel trying to calibrate its response. That's just got to, we've got to stop it somehow, some way. But that's going to require, at the end of the day, the Hamas leadership, such as it is, to have some agreement with Israel. And the role that outside parties are trying to play, led by Secretary Kerry, is to bring the parties together to ultimately what we know has to happen, and that's there's got to be a restoration of peace and calm. But this is going to be so tough on those families in Gaza.
Awful. You have always been a champion of a revised energy policy, which brings, you know, alternative energy into play. And almost everybody that I talk to says, yeah, we got to do that. Too much oil, too much transporting of oil, oil pipelines. We don't want nuclear plants. We don't want... Try to give us some of your latest thinking on this.
Well, first of all, let's put it in context. You know, there was just a study that was done by an international organization about the efficiency accomplishments of the Western European and North American in South American countries. Germany was at the top. The European Union as a whole was like second or third. And we were like 13th, we the U.S. And that is just, you know, squandering an opportunity because efficiency is all about saving money. It has the incidental benefit of reducing carbon emissions. So it's good for the environment. But even if you're a climate change denier, why wouldn't you want to use less fuel and save more money? And in order for us to embrace that, there's a variety of things we can do. We can have efficiency standards that are stronger in our appliances, in our buildings. We can have incentives that reward building owners, homeowners, to make their buildings more energy efficient. And incidentally, every time you do something like that, you're putting somebody to work. So we are squandering this opportunity that's here by not doubling down on what we do about efficiency.
But Peter Welch, as a champion of this, we know what's wrong. How do we make it right? How do we get people off their behinds?
Well, we're actually in this making some progress. You know, we have this wild debate here about whether climate change is real or not. But I find that even my colleagues on the Republican side who are climate change deniers are with me on energy efficiency. So energy efficient standards, we're making progress on them.
Yep.
Energy saving performance contracts, whereby the federal government enters into an arrangement with a company that comes in and would, say, retrofit a federal building and then get paid over time from savings in lowered electric and energy bills. We're making progress on that. So I've got a coalition here of folks that are just pushing hard on as many of these energy efficiency practical steps that we can take. And it's, again, an array of potential where we can get things done together.
Well, Peter Welch, we are out of time for this time. When we come back, I want to talk to you about your service on the Subcommittee on National Security, Homeland Defense, and Foreign Operations, okay?
Yes.